I can wait a moment more. Tell me quando, quando, quando.
All the pundits told us that Prime Minister Scott Morrison was supposed to have already visited the Governor-General to set a date for the general election. Yet we are still waiting. A number of dates have been canvassed, but with the 25th seeming to be out due to Electoral Commission concerns, I asked Dr. Ian Cook, Senior Lecturer in Politics at Murdoch University, whether the 18th of May was now looking like the true election date.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking it's hard to see much beyond that the less Scott Morrison's looking for a very short campaign. I'm thinking, the 18th of May is the most likely date.
Could he actually leave it and do something in September, or is it all opportunities passed?
You don't have to hold both elections at the same time. And so it's the Senate that has the effect. So, I mean, technically you could delay it, but that would probably mean that you would have to hold the Senate and House of Reps elections at different times.
We don't
do that. It is available, but my sense is that would be very confusing for everybody.
Yeah, from what you've said, I think that doesn't sound like an option that they'd want to pursue. The polls aren't looking very good for Scott Morrison, though, are they? 47% in the Ipsos and 48% News Limited. What sort of seat hemorrhage would they have from those sort of figures?
Yeah, well, I mean, to some extent, they are in danger of losing 10 seats, depending on exactly how the swing goes at the moment, if you get it at just the right time and they have a big enough swing on that day. Yeah, I mean, we're talking big win.
Yeah.
And that sort of a three-election type win is still possible. I guess, my sense is that, Shorten's a pretty good campaigner, but he's not a brilliant campaigner, and I'm thinking that perhaps the Liberals will make up some ground during the actual campaign. So I'm thinking, it's probably, I suppose in the sort of 5 to 10 range rather than 10+.
But that's still a loss, isn't it? So they can't really hold on with that.
No.
The only light on the horizon is that Scott Morrison has slightly better figures when it comes to best Prime Minister.
Yeah.
But that doesn't generally translate, does it, when you're
talking? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, people very much react to the party labels. It's really driven. There's some effect on terms of leadership, but being preferred Prime Minister really doesn't have that much doesn't give you much in your favour. So being preferred Prime Minister really isn't an advantage going into an election.
What's the situation like in Western Australia? Are the Liberals still on the nose there, or could they maybe pick up a seat or two?
Well, I mean, I think pick up a seat or two might be a bit much. In terms of, I think, we had that huge election, a huge win from Mark McGowan, which I think has sort of released some of the sort of hostility toward the Liberals, and some of that was very much local, state-based type, resistance and negativity toward them. So I'm expecting a swing to Labor, but I'm not expecting a very big swing in WA. So
it's kind of the main story then will be depending on Victoria and Queensland at either end of the scale, maybe.
Well, I think that's my sense. I mean, the leaders have both been over here recently and they're sort of certainly focusing on Western Australia more than we're used to seeing, which, it suggests that, maybe they think that Western Australia will, the election will still be in play by the time, the votes are being counted in WA. But my sense is, it's going to be Queensland and Victoria that are going to be, the determinants here. And I'd be a little bit surprised if we were still looking in, at Western Australia to decide the election. But if it comes down to that, I think then we'd have to think Labor will win.
And looking at the Senate, it's always been a problem for both governments recently, in recent years. It doesn't look any better, does it? There's still going to be a lot of small parties in the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, I think, the proportional representation system, which generally sort of favours smaller parties and gives you a very different effect from the single-member geographical constituencies in the lower house, means that you end up with that potential. And Australians who, are sort of a little bit reluctant to vote for the government in both houses these days,
And lastly, do you think we'll see some more independents in crossbenches in the lower house?
There are moments when I see this as what we call a polarising election, where people are sort of pushed to either end, because there's a fair bit of antipathy toward, you know, the Liberals at the moment. But I don't see the people being so positive about Labor. And when you look at the New South Wales election, you know, I mean, you have to think, well, it's not like there's a huge groundswell toward Labor. And under those sort of conditions, you've got to think people will start looking at independents, looking at, you know, people from minor parties, because, you know, they're just not wedded to the major parties in the way they used to be, and that sort of opens things up. And we're seeing people sort of, you know, pretty unhappy with both sides of the house and therefore looking for crossbenches.
Yeah, so we live in interesting times. Dr. Ian Cook there, Senior Lecturer in Global Politics and Policy at Murdoch University, ending that interview. I'm Roderick Chambers, and you're listening to The Wire around Australia on the Community Radio Network.
Tell me when.